Greetings. Please join with me for the call to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day where we reach out to our sisters and our brothers.
We reach out in love and faith.
We gather around the table of our Savior.
We gather to be nourished and fed.
To be changed and transformed.
To become one body.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Please join us for the hymn, number 445.
Friends, this is a great day. This is the day where we reach out our hands in faith and love. This is the day where we spread the peace of Christ to those next to us and those across the room. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with each other. When you had shared that peace far and wide, you may be seated. So once again, good morning and welcome. Welcome to drummers and to shakers and to music makers. Welcome to smilers and to posers and to picture takers. Welcome to parents, grandparents, and children of all ages. Welcome to the foolish, the sentimental, and to wise old sages. Welcome to those who have been coming here for a long, long time, and to newcomers trying to figure out why I'm speaking in rhyme. Welcome to this time, to this hour, and to this place, for this room is a historic, sacred space. Welcome to music and song and feast. Welcome to the great. And welcome to the least. Friends, open your hearts and open your minds. to love, and to new truths of many different kinds. Welcome to those from near and from far. Welcome, welcome, whoever you are. A special welcome this morning to the Berkshire Rhythm Keepers. They're a group of like-minded folks who gather weekly for a few hours in a class to celebrate and learn the spiritual and rhythmic songs of West Africa, Cuba, and the Caribbean. They are made up of drummers from 9 years old all the way up to, well, slightly older than that. Special thanks to Carrie and to Steve, who have linked us up with them, and to Amy, their director. We welcome all of you and give thanks that you are here today. For those of you who are new to this place, I would point these out. They are in each pew. I would ask you to fill them out so that I know how to get a hold of you and drop them in the offering plate when it comes by. You will notice a green sheet in your bulletins that describes the many different aspects of life in our community. I would ask anyone who has an announcement to make to please come forward at this point to the microphone to be able to do so. Oh, there you are.
Hi, I'm Terry Wise of Mission in Action, Board of Mission in Action. And we can read in Ecclesiastes 4 that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another one to lift him up. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. So this is actually the mission of Construct Inc., Construct Incorporated in Great Barrington. They are in the nonprofit business of lifting up people who have fallen. And according to their director, the main cause of people becoming homeless or becoming potentially homeless is that they have fallen on hard times due to whatever exterior circumstances, and they don't have a community or a family to lift them up. And so their mission is to be that for people throughout South County. And on October 20th, they'll be holding their annual walk, which is from Ski Butternut to the Great Barrington Fairgrounds. It's a very festive event. It is the main source of their emergency funds for the coming year. And when you get to the Jonathan Edwards Room after this service, you will find a table straight ahead, and I hope everyone will stop by. I'm encouraging everyone in this room to either walk or to donate, or better yet, to take one of these yellow walking forms and take it to your neighbors and your coworkers and get see if people will donate a small amount. A lot of people donating a small amount will make their year successful. So please stop by and participate. Thanks.
This is an unofficial announcement. I'm not a member of Growth and Fellowship, but those of you who participated in the Church Directory Project may have noticed how much time was spent sitting at tables, registering people, etc. So I wanted to extend a personal thank you to John Geldert and Steve Hastert and Cindy Brown for all the enormous amount of work they did on this project. So thank you, guys.
Let me add a couple words to that. There is one person who was here for 3 complete days at this church. There is one person who took time out of her job to be here and to arrange food for others who were going to be here and to make sure the room was set up and cleaned up and taken down. There is somebody who even watched over my young child when I didn't have time to because I was teaching a class. I am shocked to see that that person is still awake and, in fact, is here. So let's give another round of applause to Cindy. Thank you, Cindy. One final quick announcement. Yesterday, we held a Connections class, which is a class that we hold for those who are thinking about becoming members of this church. We will be taking in new members once again to this church on October the 27th. If you think you might be interested in exploring what membership means, please come and talk to me because I would love to have that conversation with you. Friends, welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge. Welcome to the worship of God. I would like to invite at this point all of the children in this room to come on forward and join me right down here. You can have a seat right on these steps. They're all coming up today. Come on up. And we're keeping going. All right. Good morning. How are you? I don't know some of your names. So my name is Brent. And can we at least just each say our name so we know who we are? Irving. James, Chase, Samantha.
Maddie.
Oh, then I finally heard it. Okay, Maddie.
Noah.
And Lily. Well, welcome everybody. Did you know that today is a special day in the life of the church? It is a holy day in the life of the church. It is a holiday. Do you know what today is? Today's not Christmas, right? Not enough snow for that. It's not Easter. Today is what we called World Communion Sunday. It's a big day in the church. So this is our world, right? It means that churches in China and churches in Germany and churches way down here in South Africa and churches over here in Brazil and churches in Mexico, and churches in Canada, and churches here in the United States, they're all going to be doing the same thing. They're going to be doing communion. Do you know what communion is? What is communion? Huh. Maybe we should ask these people. What's communion? If everybody in the world's doing it, surely we know what it is. What is communion? Yeah, Tris. So Jesus did it. We learned it from him. And what is it? Bread and wine coming together around the table. Jesus, on the night, his last night to spend with his friends, he decided to gather his friends around a table just like this one. And he fed them a meal. He shared a meal with them. Now, does anybody here know what we need to do communion? What do we eat? Do you know? Yeah. We need to eat bread. So look at the table. We got bread there, right? Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on from that. What do we drink at communion? Yeah. We drink, well, we don't actually drink blood, but we understand it. Jesus said, "This is my blood," right? So we drink either wine or juice, right? So do we have the juice on the table? Surely it's there. Get up. Help me find it. Come on. Where is it? Where's the bread? Where's the juice? It actually isn't there. Do you know why it's not there? Because while in our church it's usually there to start the service, in many churches around the world, the table starts blank. It starts empty. There's nothing there. And then right before communion, amidst drums and amidst music and oftentimes even dancing, people will bring the bread in, and they will bring in the juice, and they will put it on the table, and then they will celebrate like it's a great big party. That's why it's not on the table. Now, here's a question for you. We need somebody to help bring in the bread and the juice. Is there anybody here who might be willing to do that? Just two? You guys don't want to do that? Well, you don't have to. If you do, after we say the Lord's Prayer, you can go on out to Sunday school, and then there will be instructions there, and you'll get to bring in bread or juice or something fun, okay? But the reason the table is empty today is because a lot of the churches around the world, that's how they do it, and we want to learn from them what that's like. You think it's all gone? I actually think it's going to come back. It might be all gone, but I think there's going to be more. I think there's going to be a miracle, and it's going to come back. All right, let us say a prayer together before we go. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. If you know the words, say them with me. If not, listen, and we'll learn it, okay? Let's pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you can go to Sunday school if you like, or go back to your parents. Either way.
The scripture reading for this morning, different from what's in your bulletin, is actually 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 36. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." May these words bring a blessing to us all.
The story that Joanne just told is a universal story. In fact, that piece of scripture is the single most read piece of scripture in all of Christendom. It is the story that is told out of the Bible the most out of anyone. It is an important story. How important is it? Well, in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, they think that story is so important, that every single time they gather for worship, every single time they make sure they tell that story and they make sure they gather around this table. In the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, one of the things they take from that story is that Jesus sent his disciples ahead to prepare the meal. So in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, they believe that any disciple, that any lay person can preside over this table. It is not the story of the pastor or the priest, it is the story of the people. So in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, one of the things they take from the story is to do it often and anyone can lead it. In the Pentecostal churches in Carrizo, Chile, it is so important to them. It is so important to them that they could not imagine doing communion without all of the Pentecostal churches being together. And so in Carrizo, Chile, the Pentecostal churches get together once a year. They do communion just once a year. 3,000 people pack into their largest church. And instead of a lay person, they call upon the bishop. The bishop, dressed in all kinds of bling, gets up and stands behind the table. They think the meal is so important that it takes a bishop to bless it. And so the bishop says those words and blesses this meal. And then all around the room, there are 10 stations, 10 of them. And people, those 3,000 people, span out. At least the adults do anyway. Here's what they draw from it. They remember Jesus saying to people, "Come unto me, you little children. Let the children come unto me." So at the end of those 10 stations, when the adults are done, the kids from 10 years old to 10 months old, they come up and they flood around the table, a squirming mass of life around the table, all waiting to get a bite of bread and a drink of juice. This meal is so important that in Anglican cathedrals in England, they go down to the vaults of the church and there they find precious silver. They think this meal is so important that nothing but the best will do, and so they grab precious silver. And every week, somebody spends time polishing that silver until it gleams brightly. And someone else takes white linen, white like transfiguration white, and they take it and they iron it and press it until the creases are just right and until there is a mountain of silver covered in perfect linen. It's important that nothing but the best be put out for this meal. Well, there are churches in Latin America who would agree, nothing but the best. But they take from this story that this is the meal of the people. And so there are multiple people who are asked to break the bread for that meal. It's a poor place. And so the people bake from whatever they have. Sometimes the loaves are perfect and round and crusty and good. And sometimes the loaves are misshapen and burnt and different colors. And here's the thing, the people from home, they don't bring silver. They bring that bread on whatever plate they have. Usually cracked, always different colors, and because they think this meal is so important, they bring that different bread and those different plates, and they put it on the table because nothing but the best will do. Here in the United Church of Christ, we believe that this is an open table. By that, we mean that all of you are welcome, literally all of you, whether you believe or not, whether you're a saint or a sinner, whether you've confessed or not. The only thing we care about is, are you hungry for God's love and spirit? We think that this should be an open table because we believe this table is so important that it can change people's lives. Our brothers in the Lutheran Church, ecumenical partners, people with whom we love and people with whom can share this pulpit anytime they want, in parts of the Lutheran Church, they think this story is so important that this is a closed table. By closed, here's what they mean. They think this story is so important. They think we need to know the story of this table well before we come to it. And so, unless you've studied the catechism, unless you have prepared yourself to come to this table, it's too important to come. Now, skeptics, doubters, critics of the church, they would say, that's all a bunch of nonsense about nonsense. They would look at it and say, how can the church, which the story they tell the most, not even agree on how to do it? What kind of a crazy bunch are those people that this very short story that Joanne read turns into all these different things? Those people are wrong. Here's the thing. Each of those stories point to how important this story is. Each of those stories point to a different glimpse that each of us have gotten about this table and about this story. But here's the thing. On this day, on World Communion Sunday, I do not want you to focus on the story of this table. I do not want you to focus on the story of what's on it or who's behind it or how the things are blessed. Because what really matters is whose table this is. What really matters is that the story of this table points our eyes to Jesus. And we can learn not just about that night. We can learn a whole lot about Jesus through the story that Joanne read. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus gathered his friends, those he cared the most in the world about, and brought them around this table. On the night in which he was betrayed, on the night Jesus knew that he was going to be arrested, that his earthly ministry was over, on the night that he knew that he was going to end up whipped, beaten, and crucified, on the night where he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and if you read the Gospels, it says he prayed so hard and so earnestly that great beads of sweat fell from his head, but they fell as drops of blood. On that night, where his disciples should have been holding him in their arms, Jesus knew he had to hold them in his. In John's gospel, he washes their feet, right? In the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he gathers them around the table to give them sustenance, to give them hope, to feed them. So today, when you come to this table, Remember that you come as disciples. But the story of this table and the one whose it is calls us not to remain disciples, but instead to become like Jesus, to become the one who sets a table in the midst of our enemies, to become the one who, despite how bad our days are and how bad our life is going, still remembers to care for those around us. So today, when you eat from this table, remember that. And so Jesus took the bread. Bread, in any culture, is the symbol of life. Bread is the symbol of food and nourishment. Every culture, in some way or another, uses some kind of bread. And so when Jesus says, takes the bread and says, "This is my body," what he's saying to them is, "This is my life. This is my life." And then Jesus, remember, breaks open that bread, just as he broke open his life with love and healing and miracles, and just as he was about to break open his life on that cross. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And I do think Jesus meant that we should gather around this table. But I also firmly believe that what Jesus was saying is, do this. Break open your lives that love and mercy might pour out. Do that in remembrance and honor of Jesus. So as you eat that bread today, think about breaking your own lives open. And then we remember, in a like manner, it says, in a like manner, he took the cup. He gave thanks for that cup. He lifted that cup. He blessed that cup. Do you remember what happens later in the garden? Do you remember his prayer? This cup is the cup of his blood. This cup is the cup of the new covenant. He prays, "God, if it is your will, if this can be done any other way, if this can be done any other way, let this cup pass from me." But he blesses it. And he tells them, "This is the cup of the new covenant." In this meal around this table, it was the Passover meal. Jesus was drawing their attention to the past. And by calling this the cup of the new covenant, he was drawing their attention all the way back to Abraham. He was reminding them that this is all about Abraham. This is about God's promise from the beginning. This is an old, old story around this table. But then he says something fundamentally different. He says, "This is the new covenant." That in our actions today and the days that follow, this whole thing is going to be shaken up. This is all going to be different. And so as you come forward today and take that cup, remember that it roots you to the ancient traditions of this church, and it also is an invitation for you to experience your life with God in new ways. This is a universal story. This is a story that we tell over and over and over again. It is a story that we should tell until we have it memorized. It should be a story until it winds its way into our heart and until it affects every single decision we make. It is a story that we should come to cherish so much that we can't keep it to ourselves. This is a story that we should love to tell. Amen? Sisters, brothers, please be seated. Today, as we come to a time of prayer on World Communion Sunday, we remember that when we enter into prayer, we join with the faithful of this time and of all times. When we pray, we lay our lives open before God, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we do it in honesty, and we do it in hope. Today, in our bulletin, you will see our unison prayer. It is an ancient old prayer that was used in Syria and Turkey. It is a prayer that we will pray today to join our voices to ages of the past and to our brothers and sisters around the world. Let us pray. To God be glory, to the angels honor, to Satan confusion, to the cross reverence, to the church exaltation, to the departed quickening, to the penitent acceptance, to the sick and infirm, recovery and healing, and to the four quarters of the world, great peace and tranquility. And on us who are weak and sinful, may the compassion and mercies of our God come, and may they overshadow us continually. All of these things, God, all of them, the things that are on the tips of our tongues and the depths of our heart, all of them we give over to you. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, we pray in many different ways. We sometimes pray with our heads up, sometimes with our eyes open, sometimes with our hands clasped, and sometimes holding one another's hands. We're going to pray in a slightly different way now. We're going to pray by taking that which God has given us, taking the treasure of our lives. And we are going to pray by entrusting it to the church in ministries of mercy. We're going to pray with our eyes open to the world and our hearts alive to God. And we are going to take whatever God has trusted to us, and we're going to be bold enough to put it in the offering plate as a prayer. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received.
Every time I feel the Spirit
holy and loving God, we ask you to bless the gifts that have been given. Bless them that they may be embodied with your love, that they may be full of your grace, that they may be bursting with your joy. God, I ask you to bless each and every one of us who are gathered here, that we may likewise leave this place transformed, changed, and renewed. We ask this all in the name of our brother, our mentor, our teacher, the host of this table, the one we know as Jesus. And let the whole church say, Amen. Be seated. Amen. Friends, I invite you to come to this table just as you are. I invite you to come to the table where Christ is the host. I invite you to come as a flawed human being or as a glorious creature of God made just a little bit lower than God. Come to this table and eat and be fed. Come, all of you. On this day, we tell the story again of this table. Joanne has told the story. You have heard me tell it enough times that by now I hope that it is ingrained in your hearts and on your mind. So I am not going to tell it again today. You are going to tell it. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to start you off, and I'm going to ask you to say the words that come to your mind. I know we have guests here from Texas. I know we have people from all over the place who may tell this story differently. Use the words that come to you. The story starts like this. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered his friends, his disciples, around this table, and what did he do? He took bread. And what did he do with that bread? He blessed that bread. What else did he do? He did break it, and before he broke it, he gave thanks for it, but he broke that bread. He broke it wide open. And what did he say to them? He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And what were they supposed to do with it? Take and eat and do it in remembrance of me. And in a like manner, after supper, what did he do? He took the cup. He took that cup and he lifted it. And what did he say? This is where many different traditions use different words. In some traditions, this is the cup of the new covenant. In other traditions, he says, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for the forgiveness of your sins." And he tells them to do what with it? Take and drink. And to do this, that's the story. And you told it well. Before we partake of this meal, let us do what we ought to do with every meal. Let us say a blessing over it. Holy and loving God, we ask you to pour out your Spirit on the food that is assembled on this table. We ask you to send your Spirit deep into every corner and every fiber of this bread. We ask you to send your Spirit deep into this cup that this meal might be transformed for us, and in doing so, it might transform us. God, we ask for your blessings upon this meal in the name of the one whose table this is. And let the whole church say, Amen. Now, before we eat of this meal, there's the rest of the story we need to remember. Just in case you're not quite convinced that you are invited to this table, what we need to remember is that around this table, in the midst of Jesus' chosen family and friends, there was one among them, one who was going to betray Jesus. There was among them one who was going to deny Jesus not just once, but three times, and every single person that gathered around this table was going to flee him or fall asleep on him before the night was over. He knew that. And yet he shared this meal with them. So surely, if he shares this meal with them, he is going to share this meal with the likes of us. And so come and eat. There's a couple things you need to know. These are breads from all over the world. They work equally beautifully as the body of Christ or the bread of life. Bread that either is on this tray or bread that is in this basket is gluten-free bread, so that there might not be any barrier. The juice in all of these beautiful little cups that are coming your way, it is all unfermented grape juice, so no worries about that either. The ushers are going to come with the plates of bread first. If you would prefer, or if you need gluten-free bread, please wait until these plates have passed and someone will be by with those baskets. We will not let you go hungry, I promise. Friends, this is the feast of God, and it is for you, the beloved children of God. Come. For all is now ready.
Joanne is done with the choir. She will come here in case anyone would like to eat.
Friends, this is the bread of life. Take now and eat. Friends, this is the cup of salvation. Take and drink deeply from it. And now, sisters and brothers, let us unite our hearts and our minds in a prayer of thanksgiving. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this meal. We give you thanks for the one who has set it before us, and we give you thanks for the way it nourishes our lives. God, we ask you to send us forth as your changed people to go and love this world. God, we give you thanks, for it is good. And let us all say, Amen. We pray in many ways. And one of the ways that we pray here in Thanksgiving after taking communion is that we offer gifts to the food pantry, whether it be money or food. We bring it forward in thanksgiving for all God has given us. Friends, let us pray. Sisters and brothers, our time of worship here in this sacred space is coming to a close that we might worship God anew with our lives beyond the walls of this room. Before you go, we hope you might stick around for a little bit longer. We invite you to come through those doors at the close of worship to meet people and to engage in some great fellowship and eat some fall-shaped cookies. I hope you will join us. Also this week, if you are part of the book club, do not forget that on Wednesday night, we are reading the next section of that book. It will be right here in this church at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. Friends, let us close our worship in song. Please rise.
Jesus, close again.
Sisters and brothers, as you go forth from this place, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And let the whole church say, Amen. Amen. Be seated.